are friends with Fantasy Benefits.
Mike, how hard are you right now?
Oh, man, I've been hard since you said, hi, welcome to Friends with Fantasy Benefits podcast.
I will always root for the Buccaneers over any fantasy team I ever have. I mean, I ran around my house like a little kid last week when the Bucs won.
We are friends with Fantasy Benefits.
Because he's very funny. He live tweets and he kind of goes nuts about certain things, which is very entertaining.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, Did you see that little guy run across the field last week?
The squirrel?
We are friends with Fantasy Benefits.
And that's Julian Edelman, who, ended up having a baby this week. So congrats to him.
You, every time we do a podcast, you got the, life story, backstory on the...
I'm Narrative Central. I'm Narrative Central.
We are friends with Fantasy Benefits.
Hello, and welcome back to week 13 of the Friends with Fantasy Benefits DFS podcast. I am Sasha Salinger, joined with my grammar's terrible, Mike Werner, help me out.
We have something in common, terrible English and grammar.
Oh, good, thank God we're both hosting a podcast together. That makes it very enjoyable.
At least you're getting better at pronunciating Friends with Fantasy Benefits. So.
Pronunciating? There we go.
Yeah, English. With your pronunciations, we're keeping the narrative strong here.
You're setting the bar super low.
Yeah, that way we can't disappoint anybody.
We can't. Oh, we always can.
Yeah, that's true.
After the games on Sunday. We give our picks, then the disappointment keeps going.
Speaking of games on Sunday, how was your holiday, and how did you do last week?
So I was actually in Mexico, so I didn't play DFS. And I know I was not at the Raiders game. I was actually in Mexico City on Wednesday. Missed it by 2 days. But there were still a lot of Raider fans in Mexico City, which was very cool to see.
Raiders fans are nuts. Did you ever watch that video? I think that I mentioned
online. Yeah, you sent it to me. It's great.
Did you like it? It was nice. Yeah, the Raiders are, there's a couple of people, I work at a bar, so... there's always sports talk going on, and there's a lot of people that are gunning for a Raider and Dallas Cowboy Super Bowl. I don't know if that's going to happen, but it's certainly, not inconceivable at this point, which is all you can ask for, at this point in the season.
I mean, this have to be two of the most, not popular as in universally loved, but popular in that they have huge fan bases. Dallas Cowboys have a ton of fans. Raiders have a ton of fans, although they universally hate it. But that'd be a really interesting Super Bowl.
Yeah, it would be. I mean, it's all kind of up in the air. I mean, I know we're off of DFS for the moment. But, I think that the Raiders have a shot. And, we'll see what happens. I think their defense will be, kind of the big factor, the X factor, if you will, as to whether they will go far or not. But in terms of last week, I did really well on Thanksgiving, and I think, I was like a lot of people, I ended up fitting Jordan Reed in there, which was nice. It was I was so upset at the beginning because I was like, okay, his arm's in a sling. He's obviously not coming back in the game. Yeah. So I'm sitting there eating all of my, Thanksgiving feast and, remembering all I'm thankful for, and then at the same time trying to just besmirch Jordan Reed on Twitter about how terrible it is that he's injured once again, even though you should never do that. And I didn't actually go on Twitter. I was just very upset that he was out. But then all of a sudden he comes back in, he puts up over 30 DraftKings points. Life couldn't be better until Antonio Brown, the only guy I didn't own in terms of the big stars, just flat out goes bonkers against the Colts, which it would have been nice. I expected him to do well, but I didn't want him to do bonkers, and that's exactly what he did. That's why I didn't win the main tourney, but I did do very well, so I'm happy with that. But, in terms of the Sunday slate.
You got a three-figure score, four-figure score, higher, five-figure score.
No, just 3 figures, but still, it was pretty I came in the top 150 of the, the main Thanksgiving tournament. So, that was nice.
It's a smaller tournament, too. I forgot.
Yeah, it wasn't. It wasn't an insane amount of money, but it was still solid nonetheless. But Sunday kind of erased all of it for me because I was all in the, I know we didn't do a show last week, but I was all in the Russell Wilson train, and I'm a Buccaneer fan through and through. I wasn't rooting against my team. This has always been an argument in fantasy. Do you root for your fantasy team or do you root for your real team? I will always root for the Buccaneers over any fantasy team I ever have. I ran around my house like a, little kid last week when the Bucs won. But at the same time, Russell Wilson did terrible. That kind of sunk me. Same with Brandon Cooks, not receiving a target.
Oh, God, I know. I had him. I know.
It's ridiculous. I mean, it's like It's like if I guess like the Colorado Rockies. I know the New Orleans Stadium get the Superdome gets compared to Coors Field a lot for baseball. It's like if the Colorado Rockies went off for 15 runs in a game and Carlos Gonzalez didn't get one of those runs or RBIs. Like that's pretty much similar to what happened with Brandon Cooks. And
I stopped listening. I hate baseball.
Well, that's unfortunate. Regardless, it was very unfortunate for last week. I know a lot of people were kind of high on Russell Wilson and a few of the other plays from that game. Doug Baldwin, etc. But it was you just kind of have those weeks. Hopefully, this week will be different, and we'll be able to kind of cipher through that for you.
All right, so. Tell me who you like at quarterback this week. Let's jump right in.
I mean, I know every week I'm like, I have a ton of options and it's a long list, but this week is truly unique in terms of the quarterback matchups. There's no divisional games, which usually, lends to more fantasy points being scored because, opposing defenses don't know the opposing team as much. So regardless, Drew Brees up top at 7,600 against Detroit. This is like the must have game, right, for everybody, that's playing DFS. They are certainly targeting this game. The Saints have the highest implied point total on the slate at 29.75. When I wrote this down, I think it dropped a little bit since yesterday. But regardless, it's the highest on the slate. Brees is averaging close to 29 DraftKings points at home this year in six games, which is the second most among all quarterbacks. He's second in red zone attempts with 72 and first among all quarterbacks that qualify in red zone completion percentage, which means that not only is he throwing the most in the red zone, but he's also completing more than anybody else. In the highest total game of the week, the Lions are allowing the fifth most fantasy points per game to quarterbacks this season and are 32nd in DVOA against the pass. I will say this is the one negative. The Detroit defense has held quarterbacks to less than two touchdowns in three of the last four games, and they're third in fantasy points per game allowed to the quarterback position over the last 4 weeks. That's literally the only negative. I'm not saying that Brees is going to have a bad game by any means, but that is something to kind of just weigh in whenever you're looking at this slate. I will say personally I will have Brees, but there's so many other plays and there's so many other guys from the wide receiver running back positions that you're going to want to fit in that I'm okay with punting on Brees in tournaments if you want to kind of fit some other guys in that situation. Moving on, we have Tom Brady. I wrote this yesterday. We did find out that I wasn't expecting Gronk to play this week, but the fact that he has been announced to pretty much be out for the rest of the year is...
Eight games, but
Super Bowl, is because, certainly something that's possible. But regardless, I feel like having the weight of knowing he's out for a longer period of time, may affect the team a little bit. The Patriots offensive line has not been great this season. And one strength on the Rams, it's the defensive line. He's 7,500. He has 300 yards and or multiple touchdowns in all seven games he started this year. He's third in fantasy points per game this season as well. He's fourth in red zone completion percentage among all qualified quarterbacks. The Patriots have the second highest implied point total on the of the week. New England's fourth in pass attempts as well. I mean, there's a lot going in Tom Brady's favor, so I like him at 7,500, but I won't be playing him mainly because of the defensive line of the Rams being great and the offensive line for the Patriots being a little bit shaky. It might lend to a little bit more running back production rather than Tom Brady going off. Big Ben at 74.
Wait, going back to that. So are you going to be playing anyone? Tell me who you're going to play on the Patriots offense this week, if anyone.
Yeah, I'll keep it quick there. I do like Deion Lewis at 3,800. I have him as a possible tournament play. We've seen his snaps rise. We're seeing the touches rise a bit as well. And he just looks dynamic on the field. He's looking like he is, slowly but surely, recovering from that, the multiple, knee procedures that he had. And I feel like him at 3,800 is by far the best bargain we're going to get, at least going into this, now
ever,
forward. Yeah, I mean, I don't think we'll ever see him get that low of a price tag pretty much any other time until he, starts to, get older and such. But the only other guy that I'm looking at, I know some people were looking at Julian Edelman, who, ended up having a baby this week. So congrats to him.
Every time we do a podcast, you got the life story backstory on.
I'm narrative central. I'm narrative central all over the place, which you know, a lot of people were, you know, disappointed about not having the Greg Williams narrative last week, you know, returning to face the, you know, Saints who, you know, cut him loose or whatever. You know, I was on that from day one. The problem is I took all Brandon Cooks and not enough Michael Thomas. Again, I'm not upset or anything. I'm just, you know, very, you know, a little bit upset, I guess.
Yeah.
But I do like Malcolm Mitchell on the other side. He's 3,600.
God damn it.
Was that your sneaky play?
Yes. Before we started this podcast, I told Mike that I had one sneaky play. He asked me who, because every podcast I just try to have one super, super cheap pick. And that was mine. And I wouldn't tell you before the podcast, but you just
know. No, you wouldn't. I mean, 12 targets over the last 2 weeks, 3 touchdowns total in that time. They need another weapon. You know, I mean, I do like Bennett as well as a tight end option, but I'm pretty much only going to, you know, a couple guys at that position. But regardless, I do like Malcolm Mitchell in this game. I think that, you know, he still is way too cheap at 3,600. There's a lot of other options, so I get it. If you're just like, you know, I don't want to chase points here, but I don't mind going with somebody like Mitchell because he presents high upside. He might be the best overall wide receiver they have, not like slot receiver, but, you know, X position guy that they've had since Randy Moss, you know, in my opinion. I think he has the size and the speed to really make a difference on this team. You know, moving forward, I do like Big Ben. He's 7,400 against New York. You know, the Giants have come in really good, though. I mean, they're second in fantasy points per game allowed to the quarterback this season, third over the last 4 weeks. Again, the usual narrative with Big Ben applies here. At home, he's absolutely a stud. The Steelers also have the third highest implied point total on the slate. And, you know, once again, Big Ben is averaging 29 DraftKings points at home this season in 4 games, and that leads all quarterbacks this year. The Giants do, they are 7th in DVOA against the pass and have only allowed 2 quarterbacks, Aaron Rodgers and Kirk Cousins, to throw multiple touchdowns out of 11 games this year. So, I mean, this is a Giants team that has really figured it out defensively. Again, this is kind of the same argument with the Drew Brees and the fact that Detroit has been really hot recently against the pass. I'm not saying to fade them. I just think that it's a little nugget that you should keep in the back of your mind when you're going into tournaments that, you know, sometimes these things kind of, you know, keep the ceiling a bit lower than they usually would be in the past. I do like Matthew Stafford. He's 7,000 at New Orleans. You know, I already kind of mentioned it with Breeze. They have the highest over-under on the slate. Everybody's targeting this game. He threw for 250 yards and 3 touchdowns against the Saints last season. He's also 5th in red zone completion percentage, which is really important. The efficiency in the red zone among quarterbacks is one of the leading indicators you want to look for. Saints are 25th in DVOA against the pass and have allowed multiple touchdowns to quarterbacks in 7 of the last 9 games. Matthew Ryan. Like, so proper, Mr. Ryan. I think, you know, and this is kind of goes more towards the quarterback position just being wide open this week, which, you know, could yield to a lot of different roster constructions, and especially in tournaments. But Matt Ryan's going to be insanely low owned, 6,800 against Kansas City. Matt Ryan's going to be at home once again. He's averaging close to 25 DraftKings points per game at home, which is 3rd among quarterbacks, 64% red zone completion percentage. That's 7th among all qualified quarterbacks. He's 5th in fantasy points per game this season, 8th over the last 4 weeks. KC has allowed multiple touchdowns in 5 of the last 6 games to quarterbacks, 5 touchdowns on the road to Big Ben earlier this season, and they're also 27th in fantasy points per game allowed to the quarterback this season, 30th over the last 4 weeks. I think Matt Ryan is going to be an insanely good tournament play that a lot of people won't go to because they're so worried about Matthew Stafford, Big Ben, and Drew Brees. Aaron Rodgers as well. He's 6,700 against Houston. This is the lowest price we might ever see Aaron Rodgers at as well. You know, 1st in DraftKings points, fantasy points per game this season and over the last 4 weeks. He's 5th in fantasy points per game at home in Lambeau Field. The Houston defense is giving
I wonder why he went. He went down in price from last week, and he had a great game last week.
They're overrating the Houston pass defense, and I mean, I get it. They're actually really solid, but you know, they've given up 3 passing touchdowns in each of the last 2 games and multiple touchdowns in 3 straight. So Houston's starting to show a little bit of you know, a leaky tendency. Yeah, a little bit of you know, wear and tear on the defensive end. You know, a few more names for tournaments. Again, it's kind of wide open this week, so I'm going to kind of keep it to every price point. But, you know, Derek Carr, 6,500. I know his, you know, broken finger and all is going to be playing Buffalo at home this week. It was pretty brutal if you watched it live. You know, it was just going a way that it shouldn't have been going.
It's a pinky, though. It's not that brutal. Like, I've seen, you know, people just make their legs go the wrong way. So, as far as football injuries are concerned, it was not that bad.
Yeah, it wasn't as bad as, like, Deshaun Livingston.
Your quarterback.
Yeah.
You're watching, yeah, his pinky go off. Yeah, that's on his hand.
You could be JPP and not have, like, you know, you could just have a nub.
His fingers, yeah. He caught an interception last week, too. I mean, he's just such a beast. Yeah,
he ran
God.
Back. He ran back. Pretty insane.
But imagine if he had all his fingers. Like, it's just, he would even be better.
Yeah, unfortunately, he decides to be. I still want to know exactly what he did with the fireworks. I'm sure he did something, like, you know, erratically stupid. But
I'm sure he just held it in his hand too long. It went off in his hand.
Yeah, but I'm sure his, like, intoxication level was at, like, a...
Oh, right.
0.239. but...
Oh, he's just really stupid. Yeah.
Let's see.
He was just sober and stupid.
Oh, yeah. Well, he probably has never been sober. I mean, chances are he's going on the field, you know, with some type of, you know, either drug in him for, you know, some type of pain medication which it's, I mean, that's a whole completely different topic in terms of, like, them not allowed to smoke weed, but they can take, you know, opiates. I mean, like, that's a solid choice, NFL. Let's not get them hooked on marijuana. Oh, no. Let's get them hooked on, you know, synthetic heroin. That's much better for them.
It'll have to, I mean, once weed becomes legalized in more states, which it just did in California, they're not going to be able to disallow it anymore, I think. Yeah, I think it's only a matter of time before it's okay.
Yeah, the fact that they're already, like, kind of chirping about it tells me that it's something that is going to change at some point. So, I mean, you know, again, not to go on some random tangent about the NFL, but, like, this is something that, like, I just find absolutely insane. You know, personally, it's just kind of nuts to me. But I also like Derek Carr. Again, you know, the Bills have allowed the 8th most fantasy points per game to quarterbacks over the last 4 weeks. You know, they've also given up multiple touchdowns in 4 straight games, 2 of them with 3 or more. Carr has thrown on average 305 yards and 2.5 touchdowns over his last 2 home starts. Love Derek Carr this week. He's also going to be insanely a low owned because people are going to be worried about that pinky. So it's just a pinky, people. Don't worry about it. He'll be fine.
from your mouth to God's ears.
Yeah. I like Philip Rivers for 6,500 against Tampa Bay this week as well. He's top 5 in passing touchdowns per game at home this season. Multiple touchdowns in 4 of the last 5 home games. 2nd most red zone attempts this season. He, however, is not as efficient. You know, he has 46% red zone completion percentage. You know, so despite that high total in the red zone, he's not nearly efficient enough for us to feel great about it. He's mainly a tournament spot only. The Bucs have improved in their defense versus the quarterback. They're top 11 in fantasy points per game allowed over the last 4 weeks, but they have allowed 3+ touchdowns to guys like Case Keenum, also Derek Carr and Matt Ryan. So keep that in mind with somebody like Philip Rivers in tournament lineups. Also, like, half the Chargers team is hurt. So, you know, keep that in mind as well. I'm going to go back to the well with Russell Wilson, 6,300 against Carolina. Let's pray to the, you know, football gods, which that's another great Bleacher Report, you know, kind of video series. Is there a little cartoon thing about the sport gods is what it's called.
Oh, I've, like, never seen that. That's hilarious.
You have to look at, I mean, it's like about baseball gods and basketball gods. I like just every sport. And like, they're having like a meeting amongst each other on like how the season
should go.
Who
they're going to let win.
Yeah, so usually it's pretty, you know, it's pretty entertaining how that goes. But yeah, Russell Wilson, he's rushed 8 times in back-to-back games, which tells me he's getting healthier. He rushed for, you know, 80 yards last week against the Buccaneers, which was pretty much the only thing he did. He has 25 or more DraftKings points in each of his last 2 home games. The Panthers are allowing the 9th most fantasy points per game to the quarterback position this season. They've also allowed multiple touchdowns to 4 of the last 6 quarterbacks they face, with the other 2 being Case Keenum and Alex Smith. Those are the 2 that are, you know, that didn't do that. So, I mean, this is a great spot for Russell Wilson. I think that he's going to be, again, another option that, you know, a lot of people won't really be thinking about with all the other top tier guys to go with. Colin Kaepernick, 6,100 at Chicago.
Yep.
A part of the Millie Maker team last week, 2% owned Colin Kaepernick last week. And I mean, there's not much to say here. He is 2nd in fantasy points per game over the last 4 weeks, averaging 23+ DraftKings points in 3 of the last 4 overall. You know, he is also averaging over 60 rushing yards per game this season, which also leads all quarterbacks. That's 6 points per game already that you don't even have to worry about. It's just coming, you know, to you. You know, 6,100 is an amazing price. The Bears are allowed 46 rushing yards to Marcus Mariota last week. They also have seeded multiple multiple touchdowns to quarterbacks in four of the last five games. I mean, this is going to be a sloppy matchup. Chicago and San Fran, are you kidding me? Like, I feel like Colin Kaepernick.
Don't watch the game. Just put him in and then close your eyes.
That's
and
a pray. Very good point. Don't watch the game. Just, you know, yeah, close your eyes and hope. Pray to the football gods. Two more. I promise we'll be a little bit faster.
Well, I have one too, so I'm going to see if he's the same. Go.
Eli Manning against Pittsburgh, kind of the opposite end against Big Ben, and a very high total, 48.5. Pitt is a 6-point favorite, which means Manning is probably going to throw early and often in this matchup. The Steelers are ranked 6th in fantasy points per game allowed to the quarterback this year, but they've only faced 3 top 15 quarterbacks in those 11 games. I feel like, you know, at some point, once they get better competition, they're going to kind of get exploited a bit. Eli has 3+ touchdowns in 5 of the last 6 games, and he's his second lowest price of the season. It's kind of like the Aaron Rodgers effect. I just don't understand why he went down in price, Eli Manning did, as opposed to go up. I mean, this is kind of insane to me. So $5,700 for Eli Manning, I think he is borderline, based on price, the best tournament play to go with this week, and nobody will have him. He might, again, be like a 2%er just based on everybody wanting to gravitate towards those top-end guys. You know, the last guy I'll go with is definitely, you know, part of that Chicago San Fran game where you want to close your eyes. Matt Barkley, 316 yards and 3 touchdowns despite seemingly like 30 drops from his wide receivers last week. You know, San Fran has allowed 300 yards and or 3+ touchdowns to quarterbacks in 5 straight games. They've also given up the 4th most fantasy points per game overall to quarterbacks this season, and the most over the last 4 weeks. That's on average 24 DraftKings points to quarterbacks over the last 4 weeks. I mean, Barkley looked good. He looked good last week. Against the Titans, who have been decent against the pass this year. It's not like just a defense to sneeze at. I mean, I don't love Barkley this week, but I do think if you're looking just for a minimum salary guy to go with at quarterback, you know, there's worse options than Barkley based on what I saw last week. This could, again, you know, crumble in your face, but he's worth a shot if you need somebody that's min price at quarterback.
I also like, we didn't mention Kirk Cousins.
Yeah,
going at 6,400, monster game. He just so, even though I know Jordan Reed is probably out, I don't think that's confirmed yet, but he has just so many, he has such depth at passing. He's 6,400. He's had multiple touchdowns the last 3 weeks. I think he's unstoppable and still 6,400.
Yeah, I don't mind that call at all. I mean, he single-handedly, you know, crushed for Thanksgiving for me. I mean, I have no problems with the guy. I think he's, you know, a legit tournament play any and every week. My thing is, you know, part of DFS is predicting game script with accuracy. And you would have to assume that Arizona at home, you know, especially getting some of their pieces back and they're a little bit healthier. Patrick Peterson is going to be able to cover DeSean Jackson.
Yeah, their defense was pretty miserable last week, though.
They were. Yeah. I mean, you would just have to assume that at some point Arizona's going to erase this a bit. So I'm.
Where did they just throw their season? Because
they very well could. They very well. I mean, you saw Bruce Arians go to the hospital last week. I'm assuming that's because he, you know, went all major league manager. You know, the movie. I know you hate baseball, so you probably don't even know this reference. But you know, he got a heart attack in the second movie because he was, you know, yelling at all the players. I'm assuming that's what happened to Bruce Arians. They're just not going public with it, but. You know, regardless,
it's also supposed to be, other than the Colts Lions games, the second highest scoring game according to Vegas. So,
yeah, I mean, I think that's another spot. This, you know, you can kind of tell by us talking here, there's so many areas to go. I mean, I didn't even mention a guy like Tyrod Taylor against Oakland. Oakland's been devastatingly bad against the pass this year. I mean, they've been better recently, but, you know, that's another matchup that at the beginning of the week I was really liking. And, you know, now with Sammy Watkins being a, you know, iffy, you know, guy based on his, you know, injury problems, I mean, we just don't really know, but. You know, there's so many ways to go this week, so many ways to, you know, construct your roster. I mean, it's going to be a very, you know, interesting week in terms of, you know, what people have. Yeah,
I will say, I don't think I would stack Kirk Cousins because I don't trust anyone because he just has so many targets.
If I would, the guy I have written down with him, if I was going to go that route, is Jamison Crowder. And that's just because he's been consistent. You know, he will probably get matched up, you know, with either will get Tyrann Mathieu or he'll, you know, lean to the slot where he won't get covered by one of those top guys. So, I mean, hopefully that's the route it goes, but, you know, we'll see.
Or we'll see like a, you know, Vernon Davis touchdown and we'll all pull our hair out. All right, let's move on to running backs.
Yeah. So I'm going to try and be quicker with this. You know, I know you have a, you know, hot date to get to, aka work. So,
several hot dates.
Yeah. First and foremost, we'll go David Johnson at 9,500. Washington's defense against the run has, you know, been in the bottom 10 essentially all season, but the price is high. I mean, I'll just kind of lump Le'Veon Bell kind of into this, 9,200. Le'Veon Bell has been, you know, he's also had a markedly higher, you know, scores at home as opposed to on the road in his career. That kind of coincides with Antonio Brown and Big Ben. You're going to have to make a choice this week between David Johnson and Le'Veon Bell. So for me, I will make my choice and say David Johnson. I'll ask you, though, what if you had to choose between the two, who would you roll with?
Probably David Johnson.
Yeah.
Because the New York Giants defense, obviously I don't think they can fully stop Le'Veon Bell, but I think they're going to be probably passing more.
Sure, sure. I mean, I think that game script is going to be, you know, certainly pass heavy for both teams, the Steelers and the Giants. But, you know, it doesn't really matter with Le'Veon Bell. He always, you know, I mean, he crushed on Thanksgiving. He always is going to be in there for, exactly, you know, receiving. And, you know, it's just kind of the same thing with David Johnson. You know, he is the focal point of the offense, which is why I would pick him amongst the group, just because, you know, there's obviously a massive secondary option with the Pittsburgh Steelers. They have Antonio Brown. You know, they also have a few other secondary options that are solid. You know, with Arizona, you still have John Brown, you know, who's dealing with the sickle cell problem. You have, you know, guys like Michael Floyd that haven't performed all year. You have no tight ends. You have a, you know, pretty banged up offensive line that hasn't been performing this year. You know, so that's David Johnson is that offense. You know, he's averaging the most fantasy points per game on the year at almost his floor is essentially over 20 fantasy points per game. I mean, he's averaging over 26 on the season so far.
But that's
so
not what you want for to win a tournament.
No, no. And that's the thing is, you know, with tournaments and exposure and stuff, I mean, nobody was on Mark Ingram. That's why the guy that won the Million Maker last week, he had Mark Ingram and he had, you know, Colin Kaepernick. Those are both guys that were, you know, both less than 5% owned. You know, and there are guys on this slate that are going to be less than, you know, 10% or 8% owned that, you know, nobody is really thinking about. I think Eli Manning is one of those guys at quarterback, but also at running back, if you're trying to win a tournament, I like to, you know, I mean, if there's a clear top end option that you know is going to absolutely crush, and not only crush, I mean, you have to think of the salary. I mean, I think that that's something we don't talk about enough on the show is, you know, we talk about great plays. Yeah, you know, Drew Brees is an amazing play, but relative to the price, that's what it all comes down to. And you know, that's something that, you know, I think more people should focus on rather than, you know, looking at how somebody's going to do. You have to do it relative to the price that they, you know, are going to cost you in your lineup.
I was just gonna say the same thing. I'm probably not gonna be playing either of those.
Yeah. Not that they're bad plays, you know. I mean, both of them, if one or both were to be in the Millie Maker winning lineup, I would say, you know, I wouldn't be surprised about that at all. It's just for me, I like to allocate my funds evenly. Usually, that kind of rhymes, but you know, I mean, I like to have my, you know, distribution of my money kind of even throughout my roster, as opposed to having a lot of stars and scrubs. I mean, and with value this week, there's a few value options. I know we already mentioned one with Malcolm Mitchell. We also have, you know, another Patriot option and Deion Lewis. There's also, you know, more, you know, value options as well. So you could theoretically do that. I just like to be more even with my, you know, price distribution.
I usually do about half my lineup stars and scrubs, half spread out evenly.
Yeah, and that's another thing too, is like I'll make a ton of lineups every week. I make, you know, at least 15 lineups a week, and you know, put them in, you know, a myriad of things, whether it's head to heads or cash games or, you know, whatever it might be, tournaments as well.
Smaller tournaments.
Yeah, I mean, I play large. I play pretty much anything. There's nothing I'm against playing, but you know, in terms of, you know, the lineups I make, there's safer options. You know, so for cash games, sure, you know, David Johnson, Drew Brees, if you want to just kind of funnel them in at the beginning and then kind of find value as you go and go stars and scrubs just to be on the safe side, absolutely. But you know, in a tournament, you have to be different than a lot of people to get in the top spot. And I think that, you know, when everybody's going to be going with guys like David Johnson and Le'Veon Bell, there's always a reason to fade, not completely fade them in your lineup building, but to fade them in certain tournaments, you know.
Sure. Yeah. And again, these are, you know, also maybe cash game plays.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean,
you need like a solid, a for sure 25 plus points in your lineup, and you have to pay an extraordinary amount of money for it. In cash games, you only need like 3x.
Yeah, when you're in a tournament, you want a guy that's going to give you 5, 6x, yeah. You know, and that's, that also is kind of a, you know, something that's, not necessarily what you want when you're like, if there's just a slate that shows me that, you know, I feel like no mid-tier guys are going to exceed value, then sure, I'll jump up to Antonio Brown, even though he's not going to 5x his price because it's already, you know, at 8-9 or whatever. Sure, I'm not going to, you know, expect that, but I am going to expect him to get me 30 points, which 30 points is 30 points. I mean, at the end of the day, you want your score to be higher than, you know, everybody else is. So, I mean, if you're getting a locked in 30 points, that does matter, even though it isn't necessarily, you know, 5x value. So, I mean, that, I think that that's kind of a myth as well in terms of wanting that from the top guy. But at the same time, I think you and I are very, very alike in the sense, you know, in tournaments, we don't want to have all these top guys. If you look in the million maker winners every single week, I'd say probably 20% of the time, do they have a top five priced wide receiver or running back in there?
Yeah, I'd say, but yeah,
I don't know that for sure. I don't have data to back that up, but I'm just thinking off the top of my head. That's my theory. Is I feel like that's the case.
Or maybe they have one, but they don't have, you know, two or three, with the rest being like min salary guys.
Yeah. I mean, and that's the thing. I mean, it's kind of like your classic 2 for 2 or 3 for 3 versus three players. You know, like, do I want Antonio Brown, David Johnson, and you know, we'll give a very low slot guy, you know, a 3,000 guy, like a Kenny Stills, or do I want,
or Jared Goff.
And Jared Goff, or do I want, you know, somebody in the mid tier, like Russell Wilson, Doug Baldwin, and Amari Cooper. You know, I mean, those are like, it's kind of three evenly distributed guys versus two stars and one scrub. You know, I mean, it's kind of, it's the same argument in whatever you feel more comfortable doing. If the 3,000 guy is like a lock to possibly go for 15 points, not a lock, but has a, you know, 50% chance at going for 20 points, then absolutely I'm going to go with the stars and scrubs approach, you know. But sometimes the slates don't really come to that.
It's like someone like, you know, Terrence West that's coming in. I know there's like Kenneth Dixon now, but it's someone, you know, when someone gets injured and you have like Terrence West is now the number one running back and he's at whatever, you know, that's someone you can put in for a cheap price because, you know, he's going to be starting and, you know, he's going to be doing really well.
Yeah. And that, a lot of times, you know, with cash, I just like to build guys that I know are going to get the volume. You know, at the end of the day, with the more opportunity you get, the better likelihood that you're going to get output. So, you know, that's kind of the, I know that's like a real easy thing to think about, right? But at the same time, people kind of lose sight of that. You know, when you're playing a guy like Malcolm Mitchell, you're not playing him for volume. You're praying that he gets a touchdown and maybe 4 or 5 catches.
Right.
You know, when you're playing a guy like Stephon Diggs, you know he's going to get the volume. You just don't know how high the upside is. So, I mean, I know this is a long rant about, you know, value and stuff, but hopefully it's a little helpful to everybody just in terms of their lineup building process and what you're really looking for in terms of each slot. And, you know, really, it comes down to thinking about the value per dollar as opposed to thinking about how big these guys get. I mean, to pay for those top guys, they need to have big, big, big games, not just like, you know, mediocre, like 25-point outputs. Like, that's not enough.
I like to think of it that tournaments, you need guys who have a high ceiling, and at cash games, you need people with a high floor.
Yeah, I mean, and I think you also in cash games want guys with high ceilings, of course, but like that's in theory, right. that's the case. You want, you know, in tournaments, you're grabbing guys that you think could possibly explode, you know, that could go
and
off.
In cash, you just need enough to win, like be top half. That's
like,
it.
here's a perfect example. I love Kenny Britt this week, right? But I think he's cash game viable because do I think he's going to go? I mean, he was on a Millie Maker team this year, so I can't say that that's completely absurd for him to be in a tournament.
I recommended people play him.
You probably did. So, I mean, it's kind of a different argument there. But in general, you know, a guy like Kenny Britt as opposed to a guy like, you know, Brandon Cooks or, you know, Devontae Adams, you know, something like that, or even like a T.Y. Hilton, you know, or if you want to go like deep flyers, you can go like Marvin Jones, you know, Marvin Jones versus a guy like Kenny Britt who has the obvious higher upside. I think, for my opinion, it's Marvin Jones. And that's what you would – it may be a difference in terms of cash games versus tournaments in terms of what you're looking for. So, you know, I think that that's a great point.
Actually, speaking of Marvin Jones, I actually really like him this week. That's why I'm jumping ahead to wide receiver. But I think he's been so cheap. We know what he can do. We've seen at the beginning of the season. He's been a little quiet, but
yeah, I liked him a lot on Thanksgiving. I liked him a lot on Thanksgiving as well. He, you know, I think that he's just a premier tournament play. I think he will be really popular this week, though. So, you know, keep that in mind. We are seeing his targets kind of creep back up. And somebody, you know, I'm sure a lot of people know this guy in the industry, but Adam Levitan, you know, one of the DraftKings playbook writers, and, you know, he's on a myriad of podcasts and such, he cited just the schedule that Marvin Jones has had to go through these last, you know, 4 or 5, 6 weeks here. You know, he's faced Philly, he's faced LA, he's faced, you know, Josh Norman and Washington. He's faced a really good Houston defense or secondary. Jacksonville has Jalen Ramsey stunting out for them, Minnesota. So he's gotten a really, really hard road up until this point. So maybe, you know, that's a great point when looking at him at 4,400. I mean, if you look at his salaries as well, you know, at the beginning of the year, he started off at 46. He crept all the way up to 7,600 at one point. You know, now we're all the way back down to 44 for him, which is, you know, the second lowest of the year. So, I mean, this is another kind of, you know, price adjustment, you know, kind of same with some of the quarterbacks.
They want to take advantage of.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think that Marvin Jones, you know, is a premier tournament play this week. I do think he'll be high owned, but I don't really care about ownership when you have so many other, you know, areas in which you can exploit in terms of ownership for this week. So,
You sort of skipped ahead to wide receiver. Are there any places to exploit on running back? We talked a little about Deion Lewis. Anyone else sort of like in the middle to low range you like?
Yeah, I mean, I'll keep it simple. I like LeSean McCoy a lot. If you don't want to pay for the top end guys against Oakland, LeSean McCoy will obviously continue to be the focal point of the Bills offense. Jordan Howard at 6,900 against the San Francisco 49ers. We already know how bad the 49ers are against the run on the road. Jordan Howard has continued to get the bulk of the work, even though Kadeem Carey and Jeremy Langford have returned. So I love Howard this week at 69. I know his price is inflated, but when in relation to the other top end options, his matchup is the best on the board and his price isn't. So, you know, there you go there. I like Spencer Ware against Atlanta. You know, Kansas City has to find a way to slow the game down in Atlanta here. And I think that, you know, Spencer Ware, who's, you know, coming off a few pretty mediocre matchups, is still really well, you know, really solidly priced there at 64. Theo Riddick is going to be insanely popular. 5,800 against New Orleans. That's a mid-range option that I'm just
sort of everyone that's going to be Detroit, New Orleans. That's where people are going to stack their lineups with. So, yeah.
He's right in the middle there. He's a cash game and a, you know, tournament option both. You know, he's somebody that can catch a lot of balls and, you know, score at any time. He's also a guy that, you know, presents the upside that you need to win tournaments as well. I do like Doug Martin right underneath him against San Diego. San Diego has, you know, struggled in the run game at times. Doug Martin is, you know, assuming more and more work as he's gotten healthier and healthier. He's 5,700, top 10 running back last year. He's looked good on the field when you've watched him as well, like I have. So I really like him at that price. Somebody that not a lot of people will probably be on. Like Garrett Blunt, 5,500 against LA.
Favorite.
I hate the guy, but he is a strong play this week against LA. You would assume that the Patriots are going to, you know, go with a run, you know, a mix of run and pass against the Rams. You know, the Rams kind of are a bit leaky against both sides, so I don't mind Blunt this week. I don't really feel like this is his three touchdown game.
You said Deion Lewis and Blunt, so who would you go with?
I would go with Lewis because he, you know, is you know, 1,700 less in price, and it's PPR on DraftKings. So Deion Lewis can easily catch 4 or 5 balls, you know, 40, 50 yards, maybe gets in the end zone. I mean, I like Lewis as a high. I like Lewis for tournaments, Blunt for cash. That's a great example right there of Lewis presenting a ton of upside at that, you know, price per dollar point. And, you know, LeGarrette Blunt just being a guy that the only way he exceeds that price is by going for three, you know, multiple touchdowns. And I just don't want to bank on that. Latavius Murray is also somebody against Buffalo. I think that a lot of people will forget about. He will, you know, he's consistently getting the majority of the touches, even though DeAndre Washington was a surprise inactive. And, you know, Jalen Richard still kind of returns kickoffs and, you know, he plays more of a gadget type role. So, I mean, I still like Latavius Murray against Buffalo. Maybe Derek Carr, you know, seeds a few carries to him because of the fact that he has a broken pinky. You never know. Love Carlos Hyde this week, 5,300 against Chicago. I think that he is another guy. You know, these are all mid-range guys that, you know, nobody will own against Chicago, who has been leaky on the run front. Devontae Booker, 5,100 against Jacksonville. I don't love him, but he still is getting a ton of the work. And, you know, Capri Bibbs really isn't, you know, involved as much as we thought. Maybe my favorite play on the week is Jeremy Hill against Philadelphia. He's only 4,300, but we saw him get, you know, the highest targets he's ever gotten in his career last week with Gio Bryan-Bernard out. And we also saw him get the most, you know, pass game work just overall in his career as well. So I think that, you know, Jeremy Hill at 4,300, he might not have, you know, 3 touchdown upside, but he certainly is going to get the majority of the work with a Cincinnati team that has lost 2 of its best playmakers and is just looking for anybody to kind of fill in there.
I also want to toot my own horn. It was 2 weeks ago that I said to my sneaky pick was Rob Kelly, who had 34.7 points that week. So, just, you know, just want to remind everyone my one sneaky pick every
week has
turned out really well. Yeah.
Humble brag.
So let's go Malcolm Mitchell one time. Sorry, we skipped over Rob Kelly, who I would not play this week, by the way.
Yeah, I wouldn't play him against Arizona either. But I won't say I didn't think about him. And I will say there's a little bit of an opportunity with the opposite side of the, you know, with the Philly and Cincinnati game. I know it's just kind of a blah game to look at, but there is an opportunity with Smallwood and Sproles. You know, I don't Matthews isn't going to return this week. I think he's going to be out. I mean, make sure that you know,
well,
keep
Ryan
up to date
Matthews.
On that, but
I meant Jordan Matthews may or may not.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, he might not play either. So, you know, I do like Sproles at his price. He's only 4,400. You know, so you could certainly do worse in tournaments than playing him. Then you also have Smallwood over there at 43. If I had to pick between the two, it's obviously Sproles based on the PPR system here. But I do think that there's, you know, a little bit of value to be had with either of those guys if you wanted to roll that route as well. But, you know, a ton of really good, you know, options this week at running back. But a lot of people are going to be gravitated towards going with David Johnson or Le'Veon Bell.
All right, let's move on to wide receivers. Give the people what they want.
Yeah, so this first and foremost, he should be just locked in. I hope it's not like Ted Ginn
I hope he gets 0 points.
No, why are you saying that? Don't even say that.
I just laugh at myself.
Don't even make that a possibility.
Reverse string. Are you going to go with your boy, Mike Evans?
I mean, Mike Evans is, oh my God, I don't even have the words to describe.
Full chub.
Full. Just, I mean, I don't even know. He makes me so hot and bothered when watching him. I don't even know what to say. But, you know, Mike Evans is, you know, obviously a premier play, 8,600. I'm not going to be playing him this week. San Diego's pass defense has been great these last few weeks. Not to say Evans won't have a solid game, but this is another price per dollar, you know, play here where I just don't feel like Evans, you know, presents enough upside at that price to really make it happen. Mind you, Tampa Bay gets New Orleans in two of the last 3 weeks, you know, of the regular season in fantasy coming up here. So, you know, be ready for some, you know, plenty of Mike Evans love. Antonio Brown is an obvious play at 9,100 up top, you know, against the Giants. I will not be playing him. I know his home stats are great. I just, I'm going to be, you know, probably going down a bit at wide receiver. If I was going to go with a top dollar guy, it'd be Julio Jones. I feel like this is just a bounce back spot for him. I love Matt Ryan at home. I think that he will not be high owned at all. So of all of them, I think that, you know, Julio Jones is probably my top option. I do like Odell Beckham as well, though. I mean, 8,500. I won't be playing him because I feel like even Antonio Brown at 9,100 is the better bet to go with. But if you're going with Eli Manning, obviously Odell Beckham is the guy that you want to roll with. Or Sterling Shepard, who is, you know, quite a bit cheaper. Staying up top here, I'll continue to roll with Amari Cooper. Buffalo is, you know, in the bottom five against wide receiver ones, according to Football Outsiders. So I think Amari Cooper is, you know, a guy that's in a prime bounce back situation here. You know, I'm going to go back to Brandon Cooks. He's at 6,400 against Detroit. I think that they're going to obviously get him involved early and often, you know, just kind of a squeaky wheel situation. You know, so make sure that you get him in your lineups. Golden Tate, 6,200. Make sure that you get a piece of that New Orleans-Detroit game if you want to go there. I will say I haven't rostered much Golden Tate to this point. So, you know, kind of keep that in mind as well. I think that, you know, when building your lineups, it's going to be kind of difficult to fit a guy like him in there, especially when your boyfriend, Sasha, 6,000 DeAndre Hopkins against Green Bay in that hideous secondary. I mean, you tell me, would you play DeAndre Hopkins when he's at essentially his lowest salary since, you know, possibly his rookie year?
Since birth? Since birth? Let's hope. I mean, Brock Osweiler looks so bad. That's the only problem. It's not my lack of faith in DeAndre Hopkins. It's my lack of faith in Brock Osweiler.
I sent out a tweet of what Brock Osweiler has done lately. I believe over his last five games, he has like 4 touchdowns to 5 interceptions. Over his last 5 games, like full games.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I think DeAndre Hopkins, throw it within 7 feet of him and he can catch it. So, yeah. I mean, I have no doubt in his skills. I think he's talent-wise, top 3 wide receivers in the league. It's just what he has to deal with right now.
Yeah, I think that this is a situation where DeAndre Hopkins presents a massive tournament upside, you know, play here.
Sure,
I mean,
oh yeah, of course.
So you, you know, if you look,
ceiling is always high.
If you look through the game logs, mind you, we saw Carson Wentz, who doesn't have, you know, the greatest, you know, the greatest arm and isn't the greatest quarterback quite yet. He got kind of, you know, stifled by the Green Bay defense on Monday Night Football. But before that, Kirk Cousins went for 3 touchdowns. He gave, you know, Jameson Crowder and Pierre Garçon and DeSean Jackson, all 3 scored. 2 of them hit over 100 yards. Titans wide receivers scored the week prior to that. We saw Dante Moncrief and T.Y. Hilton both do really well against Green Bay. We saw Taylor Gabriel and Mohamed Sanu do really well here. Mind you, Julio Jones was held in check that week, so that's something to keep in mind. But regardless, I mean, this is a Green Bay defense that has given up, you know, a myriad of points to the wide receiver position. You know, even Stephon Diggs went for 9 and 180 and a touchdown against them. Marvin Jones also went for 200 yards and 2 touchdowns. I feel like if there is a week that you're going to play DeAndre Hopkins in DFS the rest of the year, this is it. You know, at 6,000, this is about as good as it gets.
As cheap as it gets. I will say, also, just as a warning to people, he has been sharing a lot of the he's been sharing a lot of the targets with Will Fuller and CJ Fedorowicz. So Fuller and Fedorowicz had 6 targets each. Hopkins had 10 each last game, 10 each, 10 himself last game. So it's not like he's getting a huge overwhelming majority of the targets. I actually sort of like a Will Fuller play or maybe a CJ Fedorowicz play because Brock's really liked him and really targeted him the last few weeks.
Yeah, I like Will Fuller. I love that you brought up Will Fuller because he was another option for me. Down in that tier, you know, Will Fuller's at 4,700. He is a speedster and he kind of fits that mold that Green Bay has really struggled with this year. So great call on Fuller. Yeah. He's also somebody that recency bias nobody's going to look at. You know, they all know how bad Brock Osweiler's been, and they know that Will Fuller hasn't been really, you know, getting a ton of targets either. So I think that this is a prime tournament you know, play, you know, for somebody like Fuller. Sterling Shepard is also 200 more at 4,900. I already kind of mentioned that I like Eli Manning this week, so certainly Sterling Shepard is coming off kind of a lackluster performance. He could, you know, fire it back up against Pittsburgh, who, you know, is pretty mediocre against the pass. And then you know, Sammy Watkins at 5,500 against Oakland. I certainly would watch the news on this. You have you know, he was pulled out of practice on Wednesday and then he returned today, Thursday, when we're recording this. So I mean, that looks good for him playing, but how good is that foot right now? Is he just going to kind of force his way through it? I mean, us as fantasy owners, we don't know all this information. So I think that he's tournament only, and that is, you know, me saying that with a grain of salt. I mean, I had a lot of exposure to him early on this week, and now I'm really starting to, you know, take him out of a ton of my, you know, lineups because I'm just really worried about him having an aggravation in the middle of the game. Just there's so many things that can happen. You know, he could even become inactive on Sunday. We don't even know.
But that being said, I think a lot of people are going to avoid him. So if you're trying to do a risky upside play, you know, if he plays the full game and doesn't get injured or doesn't leave early,
sure,
something to consider as well. But it's super risky.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, super risky, but also presents, you know, a ton of upside. So, you know, Oakland has given, you know, they're 22nd in fantasy points per game allowed to wide receiver ones this year. You know, so you definitely, yeah, Green Bay on the other, by the way, is 30 dead last in fantasy points allowed to wide receiver ones and wide receiver twos this year. Affirmed 26th in wide receiver threes. So there you go. some more, you know, wide receiver targets here I like is, I really like Mike Wallace this week. You know, it's not really a revenge game because, you know, he's not, you know, necessarily upset with, you know, Miami, you know, after leaving. But I do think that, you know, I have him ranked in terms of standard fantasy. I have him ranked as a top 15 option this week. He's only 5,000. We've seen what he can do with the ball in the open field. And, you know, Miami has given up, you know, massive games to Tyrell Williams, among other guys. I mean, like, there's a lot of, you know, a lot of upside with somebody like Mike Wallace this week. So I really like him a good amount. If you want to go with
him. I mean, you had a spaz attack on Twitter about Tyreek Hill.
Oh, my God. Tyreek Hill is, I mean, first and foremost, the only reason he went down in draft boards was due to a domestic issue. I don't really want to talk about it because it's not my place to talk about something like that. But, like, he essentially,
it was pretty gnarly. So if you want to look it up, you can.
Yeah.
I'll talk about it. He allegedly, I don't, was he ever convicted?
I'm not sure. I just know
allegedly beat his pregnant girlfriend, but he's so good at football, we're going to overlook that for this podcast.
Yeah. I mean, there's so many things to say about that, but I mean, regardless, he's the, you know, first guy since, I believe it was Gale Sayers to, you know, return a touchdown, also rush for a touchdown and receive a touchdown all in the same game. Mind you, he did that against Denver. So it wasn't like he did that against, like, you know, Cleveland or whatever. It's, so
or the Green Bay secondary.
Yeah. So I will say this, though. Jeremy Maclin is looking like he could possibly play this week. I would put the chances of him doing that at, like, 60 to 70 based on what I've seen this week. He is practicing. You know, he's been out a few weeks now with that groin. Even if he were to play, I do think that there's certainly tournament upside with Tyreek Hill. I mean, he's only 46. He's still, you know, pretty much underpriced. If he were to get the full workload at wide receiver, he certainly is a name to play. I do think that people are going to, you know, again, recency bias, they're going to really want to play him a ton. And I personally, as of right now, don't have many shares of him in any lineup. So I would certainly kind of, you know, border on kind of reservation here with somebody like Tyreek Hill until we know more about Jeremy Maclin's status and what that means for the offense as a whole. You know, we already kind of mentioned Marvin Jones. I think that he is a phenomenal play this week. And, you know, again, he will be highly owned, but I'm willing to overlook that. I do like Marquez Wilson, 4,000, you know, out of Washington State, really high upside player, just never seems to stay healthy. He had the greatest drop and then kick of the ball to, like, hit a camera guy last week. So, I mean, he's certainly entertaining to watch as well if you can, you know, stomach watching somebody like Matt Barkley throw. But, I mean,
again, don't watch the game. Just put in Matt Barkley, Marquez Wilson, and then if you want to do a Stars and Scrubs lineup, and then just watch it on, you know, watch a different game and watch your DraftKings points go up or down.
Yeah, I mean, he received the highest amount of targets last week among any of the Bears pass catchers. I will say Cameron Meredith is just above him in price at 4,100. He received 9 targets as well. I mean, so only 2 less than the Marquez Wilson, but he, you know, only caught 2 of them. I mean, that's a really bad. That means that him and, you know, Matt Barkley are not on the same page at this moment. And, you know, somebody like Jordan Howard still got 5, you know, targets as well. I mean, there's just a lot of other, you know, pass catchers that are, you know, seemingly on the same page with Matt Barkley. So Marquez Wilson at 4,000 is an amazing play to me. I have no problem going with him in tournaments or in cash games for that matter. I'm pretty, you know, I think that he's a pretty safe option for this week. And, you know, we already mentioned Malcolm Mitchell, so I'm pretty much staying with all those guys. And you know, I didn't mention Kenny Britt, but I do like Kenny Britt at 5,000 as well. Again, not really high upside, but, you know, he is, you know, somebody that I think will get thrown the ball to a ton, especially in a New England game that in theory should, you know, play up, since, you know, they do have a high over under and New England is favored by a ton. But and Willie Snead, I can't believe I left off Willie Snead based on what he did earlier this season, but Willie Snead is probably the one guy that people will forget about in that New Orleans and Detroit game because they're so worried about getting Brandon Cooks back or Michael Thomas, who went absolutely ham last week. So Willie Snead is somebody that should really be on more people's radars, and I bet he's the third owned of the 3 wide receivers that New Orleans has.
All right, Michael Thomas, so infuriating last week, did not have any of him. But let's move on to tight ends.
I have him in so many season-long leagues that it was like, yeah, and I was like, no, you. All right, whatever. So tight end, I'm going to keep it pretty simple this week. I'm going to go with Travis Kelce against Atlanta. I'm going to go with Martellus Bennett against LA if I want to go that route. In terms of cheaper options, I'm going to go Eric Ebron. Again, at 3,900, I know he put up a goose egg on Thanksgiving, but against New Orleans, I'm sure that he's going to be highly owned as well. But, you know, I think that he's in a pretty solid spot. Vernon Davis against Arizona, he's 3,300. He's filling in for Jordan Reed. Mind you, he hasn't done great in those spots, but I do think, you know, based on the price, that you could do much worse. Arizona,
so you have so many plays targeted towards tight ends, so you just think he's just going to be getting a lot of volume.
Yeah.
Or that tight end position is going to be getting a lot of volume regardless of who's playing tight end.
Yeah, I mean, pretty much, you know, Washington throws so much, and they're going to have to throw in this game against Arizona because I just don't believe their run game is going to be effective against this team. So, I mean, that kind of leaves, you know, a lot of room for, you know, somebody like Vernon Davis. I mean, Vernon Davis has played really well this year. So I think certainly this is a nice spot for him. I mean, it certainly the matchup isn't great. You're facing an Arizona team that's done really well against tight ends this year. I mean, they've held, you know, some pretty solid options like Kyle Rudolph for, you know, 2 for 12. They held Jimmy Graham at bay, 5 for 53. But I do think somebody like, you know, just based on the price, you know, 3,300, I mean, you also have to worry about the long, you know, touchdown from DeSean Jackson or, you know, Jameson Crowder, people like that. So I think Vernon Davis is okay. You know, I don't think he'll get, you know, you know, 10 targets or anything, but I do think, you know, 5 for 50 is certainly something in the realm of possibility for him, and, you know, it's a reasonable expectation.
I like how about Kobe Fleener?
I don't mind Kobe Fleener. I know everybody's going to be, like, off of him, but Kobe Fleener, you know, pretty much runs routes whenever he's on the field. I know he got heavily out-snapped by Josh Hill last week, but he runs routes and Josh Hill doesn't. Josh Hill is mainly a blocking tight end, and, you know, he's, you know, literally nothing in terms of price. So if you wanted to go him, I suppose there's worse plays, but I would much rather go Kobe Fleener at 3,500. I think he's a safer option. I really like Will Tye this week too. He got a lot of buzz last week and, you know, against Cleveland, who, you know, has gotten torched, you know, by tight ends this year. Martellus Bennett for 3 and, you know, week 2, whatever. But Will Tye at 3,000, I think presents a ton of upside as well, especially if you like Eli Manning. Pittsburgh historically has struggled against the tight end position. I think that that lends a ton of upside for somebody like Will Tye. You know, at the very end of the day, all we need is a touchdown, and I think that he can easily do that. Vance McDonald, too, against Chicago, I think he presents a good amount of upside, but that's pretty much it. I pretty much had Eric Ebron, Will Tye, Vernon Davis, you know, just really some of the lower tier guys. I do think Antonio Gates comes back this week. He's at 4,100. So if you're still willing to spend a little bit, I don't mind going with him. But I have found myself going to Kelce instead for 600 more, or Martellus Bennett at 4,800. I, you know, on a side note, while I am going cheap with it, I do think that there's something to be said to go with guys like Greg Olsen and Tyler Eifert up top. I mean, you're looking at Gronk and Jordan Reed both being out this week. So you certainly could, you know, differentiate yourself from everybody else by going with some of the two of the top options if you wanted to go there. Eifert is essentially, you know, all they have other than, you know, Tyler Boyd and, you know, Jeremy Hill and, you know, just star-studded names like Brandon LaFell on that team. So, I mean, you could definitely do worse than, you know, trying to, you know, be unique and grab one of the top tier guys.
All right, defenses, let's wrap this up.
Yeah, Broncos against Jacksonville. I mean, aka Blake Bortles, that's certainly the best spot to go. I mean, he's 3,900. The defense is 3,900. Don't mind going that route. I mean, if you have the money left over, certainly I don't usually. So I'm, you know, if you can, then go ahead. If you can't, then, you know, by all means. The Patriots at 3,700 against the Rams. Jared Goff in Foxborough sounds like an absolute fucking nightmare for the Rams. And, you know, I feel like that could be even better than the Broncos situation. So certainly a spot to exploit if you want to go there. Only 200 less, though, than the Broncos. So keep that in mind when you're, you know, looking at that. Other than that, I really like the Ravens against Miami. They're 3,000. The Ravens are pretty much top 10 across the board in every, you know, defensive metric and against every defensive position or offensive position this year. So I certainly like the Ravens this week. I like their, you know, special teams game as well. So I think that they are a viable option for this week. I also like the Falcons. They're 2,900 against Kansas City. I love the Falcons at home this week. If they get a big lead, I can certainly see Alex Smith, you know, fumbling the ball away. I mean, really, we're looking for touchdowns that can turn into scores. And, you know, the Falcons pass rush has gotten a lot better this year with Vic Beasley kind of taking a step forward and, you know, Keanu Neal and company. So I really like that. I also really like, in terms of really cheap options, I'm kind of looking at the Buccaneers again. If you think that Phil Rivers kind of shits the bed, the Bucs have just been on fire the last few weeks. Mind you, this is probably a little bit of homerism in me, but the D-line has been insanely good. They finally have, you know, been able to kind of disrupt the offensive lines that they faced. And, you know, San Diego's offensive line certainly has played well this year, but they have been leaky and prone to giving up sacks in the past. So the Bucs at 2,500 isn't the worst play in the world. Here's the weird one, though. I think the Redskins at 2,400 are a
Carson Palmer has been looked so bad.
He's been so bad. And the Arizona offensive line has been hideous this year. I love the return game for them. They have, you know, Jamison Crowder and company. I think that they are a very sneaky low price defense that, again, nobody will have. So I've been finding myself going with a lot of Washington. Might be to my detriment, but I am willing to go that route.
I mean, honestly, if you get the 10 points from them that you start off with, that's what you need to, you know, 4X, 5X.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, you're looking, you can go through all the defensive metrics, or, yeah, defense versus offensive metrics that you want. But nobody was calling like Tampa Bay against Seattle last week. Nobody was saying that. I mean, I didn't hear anybody talking about it. Nobody wrote about them. So there's always these off the board defenses that you would assume would never do anything against certain offenses. And, you know, I think that this is a spot in Washington that a lot of people just will not even think about. And, you know, it might present a decent, I mean, Washington's kind of clicking on all cylinders right now. I mean, I could easily see a scenario where, you know, I'm thinking that the Arizona wins this game, but if they don't and Washington goes in there and starts just, you know, blasting them, you could certainly see a scenario where, you know, Carson Palmer's throwing the ball everywhere, getting sacked, getting interceptions for returns, Jamison Crowder returning one for a touchdown. I mean, there's just so many avenues in which this defense, special teams could really, you know, affect the game.
Right, break up some points.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, well, thank you.
No, thank you. Thank you for taking your time to, you know, go through all those.
Thank me after Malcolm Mitchell. Well, actually, thank you. You actually are the one who brought him up.
You're the one that had him before I did. I mean,
I did. But it could have been anyone.
It could have been.
I didn't tell you.
I was waiting for the random, like, you know, Ted Ginn joke or, you know, Brian Quick. Maybe the Deontay Thompsons of the world. I don't know.
No. Brian Quick, God.
Taylor Gabriel, that everybody's going to love this week. I mean, Taylor Gabriel is going to be, like, probably 8% owned when he shouldn't be any percent owned. But, you know, to each their own.
Exactly. Well,
did you see that little guy run across the field last week?
The squirrel?
He essentially is a squirrel. I mean, yeah. Like,
there was actually a clip of a squirrel that got on the field, but that's, you met him. Okay, yeah. I did.
Yeah, he's almost like a mini Tyreek Hill with, like, not nearly as much upside.
But little guy, I was like, there's no way he's talking about a human being right now.
No, he essentially is a squirrel. He's just, like, a little bit bigger.
Right, just, yeah. I mean, they're all tiny.
Yeah, they are.
Talking like even like Tavon Austin's tiny, DeAndre Hopkins is tiny, like they're all like small and fast. Little Muggsy Bogues running around.
Muggsy Bogues, that's a name I haven't heard in like legit 10 years.
Well, there you go, dropping bombs of random 1990s and early 2000s knowledge. All right, let's wrap this thing up. You can follow me on Twitter at Sasha Salinger, and Mike, where can we find you?
Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter at Mike Werner, FWFB. You know, please rate and review the show. We, you know, put in a lot of time to, you know, serve you good people. So please rate and review to help us out a little bit. We don't charge anything. We, you know, just hope for some ratings and reviews. Check out the site.
Subscribe, rate, review, check out the site. And then also follow Mike on Twitter because he's very funny. He live tweets and he kind of goes nuts about certain things, which is very entertaining.
Yeah, I you know, I do go off of it on, you know, rants and tangents and such. So yeah, I mean, holler at me on Twitter. I'm always willing to, you know, answer questions and such. And, you know, good luck to y'all this week. I know it's, you know, getting towards the grind. I know people that, you know, use their algorithms and, you know, models and, you know, all these projections and stuff are getting really good at it at this point in the season. But, you know, I promise you that you can be successful if you just kind of put in the time. So definitely, you know, good luck this week. I hope everybody wins some money.
And you know how you put in the time? You start by listening to us. So thank you.
Thank you.
All right. And we'll see you guys next week. Bye.